WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning, and we're going to be joined in a bit by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, and take your calls with him at 508-996-0500. And, you know, a lot of times this time of year, you're out shopping, you're out doing some last minute stuff, and you want to have dinner out, or maybe you just want to grab a drink while you're out doing all that stuff. Well, Brack's Grill and Tap is the premier bar and grill for elevated cuisine in a casual, relaxed setting. From family dinner to that special date night or just to get together with friends, maybe you got to have a little friend celebration for the holidays, Brack's has something for everyone and every occasion. Choose from 24 beers on tap or sip the finest scotches, bourbons, and whiskeys. It's all at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton or Brockton and the all-new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. Follow them on Facebook for menu specials and events and get more at BracksGrillAndTap.com. And keep them in mind, too, because a gift certificate there makes a great gift for the holidays. And that's kind of the question that we brought up earlier. You know, I talked about how I like to buy gift cards for everybody. And DSY says, gift cards is all that I do. People are happy. There's no great surprise, but they get what they want. And that's the thing, like, you know, it kind of ruins some of the, you know, if you're somebody who is more thoughtful about gift giving, it can ruin that for you. But if you're like me and you really don't know what to get people, it can be a lifesaver. So that's why I'm a gift card fan. I like giving them, but I also like receiving them. Because what I do is I save them up. I save them up until there's something that I really want. And then I just go out there and buy it and hand over like 12 gift cards. Like, they know when they see me coming at Best Buy, they're like, oh, this guy again? This guy's going to buy a computer with gift cards? One year I bought a grill at Walmart, all with gift cards. It's like, here, 25, 25, 25. They're like, okay. So, but that's how I get through the holidays. It makes a big difference when your shopping can be done in two stops and get it all done. And joining us now, we have New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Are you a gift card guy, or are you more of a got to go out and find the right gift for people guy?
It depends. If it's I have a lot of nephews and a niece, so for them, for children, I think it's they want to open up something, mm-hmm. And it's easy just to ask their parents what they want. So for them, yes, definitely get them what they want. But for adults, yes, all the way gift cards. And what I've learned, especially now as an adult, it forces people to shop where you want them to shop. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a lot of great downtown businesses, and sometimes people don't even know some of the things that they have. Like, you know, I shared one time, it's Salt and Soul is one of the businesses downtown, and I found a really great candle display that's battery operated. I use every single year for my Christmas decorations. They have that along with a whole host of other different items in that store. So getting a gift card to Salt and Soul to give to someone so that they can find their way downtown and find a shop that they might not have known existed downtown. So that's also why for mainly just adults that I'll say, oh, you know, I'm going to give you a gift card to one of these establishments downtown. So you'll be forced to go peek inside and see what there's actually available.
I always recommend restaurants to people, and I'm like, have you gone? And people are like, well, you should give gift cards to restaurants for Christmas because you know about all the different restaurants. It's like, yeah, but I like to give something that's going to last, not that's like a one-time experience, you know? Like, it's nice to give somebody a night out, but I want them to have something that goes beyond just one day.
Yeah, that's, you know, I do enjoy, right now, a lot of the restaurants do offer the, you know, like you buy a $100 gift card, they'll also, you know, gift you an additional amount. So that's a really great deal.
So you're one of those people that if they give you, like if you buy a $100 and they give you a $25, you keep the $25 for yourself. Yeah. I was going to ask that question last week because a lot, like you said, a lot of places do it. I was going to ask people, like, do you keep it or do you put it in there? Because like my aunt and uncle usually give me a gift card to 99 because they're like, it's right next door to work. And they get like the bonus card and they put the bonus card in there with it too. Oh, and I'm like, but I know you go to 99. That's for you to use. But they're just like, yeah, but you'll use it more than we will.
So. Yeah, either that or sometimes that like the office will have, you know, my day job will have like a, what do you call it? Not a secret Santa. What
is Yankee swap?
Yeah, thank you. I was like, there was a term for it, but you know, you bring there's usually a limit for that, either $15 or $10 or sometimes $25 or whatever the might be. And then my friend group has things like that as well. So sometimes using that extra gift card can just be your Yankee swap gift.
There you go. We were talking earlier about re-gifting. Are you a re-gifter? If somebody gives you something, might you pass it on to somebody else?
It really depends on what it is. That's a hard one. That's a really, really hard one. And also, I think it depends on what the sentiment is behind the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's that's hard.
Yeah, like if somebody really thought you were going to love something, you don't want to just pass it on to somebody else.
Yeah, I think if it was, again, like if it's, a, for example, a gift card, I don't think that is a big deal if, you know, someone, hey, I got you this gift card to a restaurant because I think you should try it. You know, they probably won't know if you re-gifted that, if you're like, oh, I really don't like this restaurant food. But if they, you know, knitted you a scarf or, you know, something along that lines, those kind of items where they're going to see you wearing them or your next door neighbor wearing it, you know, I don't think I would do that.
And if you are going to be a regifter, I got one word for you: spreadsheets. You know, keep track of who gave you what, yeah. Because the worst thing in the world is when you give somebody something that they gave you the previous Christmas. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. All right, well, let's get into some of the business that's been going on in the city. Last week, there were some important meetings that happened. Of course, the big one on Monday was the ordinance meeting.
Yes.
And that was regarding parking and other things. But I know that was a really big discussion that was going on.
Yeah, and we had a number of individuals lined up for public input, which I always appreciate, mainly because I think for the most part, we have public hearings all the time for a number of reasons, and very few people utilize it. And it's always important for us to hear directly from our, you know, the citizens that are going to be affected by it. In this case, it was a number of developers, but also some residents that live in various parts of New Bedford that have seen how crippling the parking minimum can be. But, you know, I think I've spoken about the parking minimum before in regards to trying to find a balance. And I do think that the planning department has done an excellent job in terms of trying to find that balance. They didn't get rid of parking minimums entirely, which some municipalities have done that. They've just said, you know what, to hell with this. We're not going to do it at all. They went through the tedious work of saying, okay, well, in this scenario, here's what the minimum would be. You know, so for single family, you know, homes, we're still sticking to the typical two parking spaces, you know, to this type of housing. But when we get into the more complicated, you know, larger developments, if it's a, you know, three bedroom or larger, same two spaces per unit. But if it's a little bit smaller or condensed, we can be more realistic about the fact that maybe there's going to be less vehicles or there's going to be other avenues to figure out how to find parking. And there was one developer in particular that, you know, mentioned that back when one of his properties he owns was built back in, I forget what year it was, there was no parking minimum. And he said in the tenants he had, I forget the number of tenants, he said they all find parking. As difficult as it might be, especially as we talked about last time during a snow, parking ban for snow removal, what have you, they find it, they make it work. Because back then, whenever these, you know, homes were built, parking wasn't a concern. And obviously it became a concern. That's when parking minimums came into place. But now the concern is not so much parking, but about housing and trying to find places for people to live.
And we also lived in a different time then when, mm-hmm. you know, if a family had a mom and a dad, maybe they were sharing a car, but even if they each had yeah. their own car, you know, the kids became 16, 17, they were still sharing the parents' car. They didn't necessarily have their own. Mm-hmm. And then they were moving out at 18. So, you know, you were getting maybe 18, 19, 20, but still they were moving out. Now you've got more and more families where the kids aren't moving out. They're staying home into their late 20s, early 30s because they can't find anywhere to live. So now you've got one apartment that's got four or five cars attached to it.
Yep, that is something that we're finding as well, too, like a whole fleet of vehicles per unit as opposed to exactly that scenario.
Or in some cases, there's multiple adults that just have to live in a place because they're sharing the costs.
Yeah, especially because, again, we don't have enough housing in other places. But that's why I think in terms of development, that's why they were keep explaining in order to build in certain areas, if you're worrying about trying to find a parking space somewhere else, which a lot of areas in New Bedford, yes, we've talked about, I think, in Ward 2 and maybe certain parts of, you know, maybe Ward 4. There's difficulty finding parking, but then that is not a concern throughout the entire city. So to have a blanket parking minimum that is detrimental essentially to development in other parts of the city where parking isn't a concern, it becomes very costly. And so that's why I think this approach will be helpful, especially one of the remarks I made during the hearing was bringing up the fact that our I think it's the planning board or the zoning board already goes to the process of reducing the parking minimums. So we have the ordinance in place now that sets a certain amount of parking. And if you have enough money to deal with lawyers and deal with the various amount of meetings and what have you, you can reduce the parking minimum already. But this way, if we change the ordinance to set the parameters that we have referred out to the full council, I believe it will be a lot harder to reduce future parking minimums because of the fact that we've set this the way we have.
So, and that is the next step. Now it goes before the full council.
Correct, yes. And then to pass to a second reading to be ordained. So the interesting aspect of all this is, and I think we touched on this before, is we had this meeting, and then now technically it will be the new body of councilors voting on its actual passage.
So, but you probably have an idea of how these new incoming councilors feel about these issues?
I would assume so, yes. I've obviously spoken more with the councilor-elect James Roy. I believe he is in line with the same thought process of wanting to build more, but also wanting to keep in line of making sure we're not overcrowding certain areas and keep, you know, parking congestion. I'm sure that both of them will have a lot to say on the matter before voting on it. That's their prerogative, obviously. And then there's also the option, if they wanted to, and I expressed this to them as well, if they felt as though so strongly that they wanted to make changes to it, we could always refer it back to committee. I don't foresee that actually happening, because you can also make amendments from the floor on the full city council. It becomes a little more complicated. And during a full city council meeting, you can't ask questions. It's not customary to do that. That's all the work is usually done in committee where you ask questions, you bring in experts and share testimony. And then the other aspect of it is because it requires a public hearing. If any drastic changes were to be made, I believe you would have to re-advertise and have the public hearing. But
and who determines what's drastic?
That's a really good question. It's one of those legal, like, I forget the phrase in there where it's like, if no serious changes or what, I forget the term, but I guess that's a good question. I don't know who would determine what is a drastic change, but
I mean,
it's up for interpretation, maybe. I don't know.
Obviously, there's a number of developments that want to happen, mm-hmm. people looking at things, but like, it's not like there's a hard deadline you got to get this passed by anyway.
No, of course not. You know, I just think we focus a lot on housing, but I think the other aspect too that we got to talk about as well is private, you know, commercial development. We touched on, you know, just banks, for example. Not many people do in-person banking. And those who do still go into the bank are very few and far between. They might park there for maybe 10 minutes or so to head in and head out. You know, so one of the gentlemen that offered public testimony said, you know, Taunton Federal Credit Union, that used to be St. Anne's and whatever bank before, that sits on across from the YMCA downtown on Union and, oh, I forget the other cross street there. But that parking lot is always empty during the day because there's just so many spaces. But at the time that the building was built, that was the parking minimum that was, you know, needed at the time. And you see this also, they gave the example of Burger King on Kings Highway. Burger King is not really a restaurant that most people go and say, hey, I'm going to go, let's go out to some fine dining at Burger King. Let's go sit down and book a reservation for 10.
You obviously don't remember the days that they had candlelight dinners and tablecloths. No, that was true.
What year was this?
This is the 90s. It was something that they tried.
Oh, yes. I was born in the 90s, so yeah, I must have missed that. But they have, if you're familiar with the Burger King on Kings Highway, they have that huge parking lot that fits, I don't know how many cars, but it's almost always empty. People use it for other reasons to park out there. But
people park there and run across the street to Northeast Alternatives because it's so hard to pull out of Northeast Alternatives. Yeah.
So those are different examples of, you know, trying to find ways to allow different commercial business to grow in New Bedford, where they might say, hey, yeah, I could build here in this location because we don't really need the parking here. We have these spaces. And, you know, so that was the other long list of alpha, you know, that was, if ever, you can go online to look at the long code that shows the different scenarios of the parking changes. It's not just around housing, but all the other commercial development too, that could also be built and not be hindered.
Well, let's take a phone call here. If you have a question or a comment for Council President Burgo, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on with the Council President.
How you doing, Council President?
Wonderful. How are you?
Not bad. You want pocket spots? I say send back the illegal aliens that are taking up all our pocket spots too. You know, you let in how many illegal aliens are in our city? I know you'll call them migrants because you changed the laws to make them, you know, legal in the states or whatever, but it doesn't matter. You got a bunch of illegal aliens and now you're crying that you ain't got no pocket spots too. And you gave them all licenses basically because the people voted for that stupid shit.
Well, I think the parking issues go back even before that. I mean, parking's been a problem for a long time.
Come on, guys. Parking. I used to go downtown a lot, and I find parking spots no problem. Now I go down there, yeah, you can't find much parking at times and this and that. But
it's not just downtown that's the issue.
When you flood a city, you know, or everywhere, when you flood a city with people that don't belong here, what do you expect? What do you expect? You bring in 25,000 people that don't belong into the city, you're gonna have pocket spots. You ain't even got enough houses, and you're worried about pocket spots. You know, you got 18 people, you know, living in one house.
Well, that's why they're worrying about parking spots, so that people will come and build more housing.
Because illegal aliens are the only ones that live like that, because they love to live like that. Okay.
I don't know. Your bigotry is even more offensive to me than your uneducated opinion.
I know. Yeah, uneducated opinion. Okay, and you're just a wise ass.
All right. And you're just never calling again. So
yeah, I didn't really have anything to say to that.
Don't even bother.
Yeah, it's
just idiocy. If you want to call and make a valid point, which you started off calling and making a valid point, but then you have to go down the path of idiocy. Mm-hmm. So we don't have time for that. I got to get a break in here. We'll get the news and we can take some more calls with the council president. 508-996-0500.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family. New Jersey police investigating a death and a fire on the same street. Over 100,000 power outages in California and the death of the penny.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A 29-year-old man is dead following a police-involved shooting early yesterday morning in New York.
Cops say they were called to an apartment on Namioke Street about a family dispute shortly after midnight. There, they were met by a man allegedly wielding a box cutter. At an early morning news conference, Chief of Patrol Philip Rivera said the officers ordered the man to drop the knife, but instead, he charged at them.
One officer discharged a taser. Immediately after, the second officer, who was within extremely close proximity to the armed male, discharged her firearm, striking the male as he continued to charge.
The man was taken to Jamaica Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Police in New Jersey are investigating a death of a man on Saturday night and a house fire that broke out several hours later, both on the same street.
Police issued a shelter-in-place order for the area of Kearny Avenue between Johnston and Woodland Avenues as the investigation continued. Dedek Sierra says he was stopped by cops as he tried to enter the area.
I was going to the store, and they told me I couldn't enter because four houses down, some got shot with a bow and arrow. And I was like, that's crazy. That's wild.
The suspect in the shooting was believed to be inside the burning house.
In California, PG&E says about 17,000 San Francisco customers still without power as of last night after a massive power outage over the weekend. So far, 110,000 customers have had their power restored. The utility company said a fire at one of its substations caused significant and extensive damage and hopes to get things back online soon. Celebrity defense attorney Alan Jackson is representing Nick Reiner for his murder case, and his services are likely to come at a high price.
The exact figure remains unclear, but legal experts have speculated his full cost in a murder trial of this scale could reach into the millions. Reiner hired the famed attorney just days into his legal battle as he faces charges for the murder of his father, Hollywood director Rob Reiner, and his mother, Michelle. Jackson has defended Karen Reed twice, as well as Hollywood A-listers like Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein. In Los Angeles, I'm Michael Kastner.
Crowds gathered at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. over the weekend to pay their final respects to the penny. The memorial comes after the penny was produced for the last time by the U.S. Mint in November. The funeral was hosted by RAMP, an expense management platform with the goal of commemorating the penny. A post promoting the event encouraged attendees to bring your own penny, adding, quote, "It was not a retirement, but a murder." The West Coast is bracing for a major winter storm.
Forecasters say an atmospheric river will impact Southern California during Christmas week, bringing heavy rain, strong winds, and dangerous travel conditions. The National Weather Service warns the duration of this storm raises the risk of flooding and mudslides, with road and airport delays expected during one of the busiest holiday travel periods. I'm Lisa Carton.
Flu season is picking up steam across the U.S.
New data from the CDC released on Friday shows nearly 5 million flu illnesses have been reported nationwide so far this season. The report says New York City is showing the highest level of flu-like activity, while at least a dozen states across the U.S. are seeing moderate flu activity. The CDC estimates there have been 49,000 hospitalizations from the flu so far this season and about 1,900 deaths.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Patriots 28, Ravens 24 last night in Sunday Night Football. Bruins lost to the Senators 6-2. Bees back tomorrow with the Canadiens at 7 o'clock, and the Celtics host the Pacers at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Sunshine today, windy and colder. High temperatures topping out mid-30s. Clouds increasing tonight. Chance of light snow after midnight. Low temperature 28. A mix of some wet snow and rain changing to rain showers on Tuesday. There could be a small, thin, slushy accumulation. Temperature at 35. Christmas Eve, Wednesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy Christmas Day, 42. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petrarca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, we're going to get back into it with Council President Burgo in just a moment. But before that, plumbing emergencies don't wait. Neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, they treat every call like it's their own home. Their family-owned business has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands of families with over 700 five-star reviews. They believe that customer service is a lost art, and they are here to keep it alive. Bass Ready Rooter, they may not be your first call, but they will always be your last. Give them a call at 508-995-8012 or visit bassready.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y, bassready.com. All right, we can go back into the phone calls, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. I wasn't going to call this morning, but the conversation led me to call. So, you know, I'm trying to stay within the spirit of the season and everything, but, you know, when Mr. Burgo's sitting there laughing it up, it just irritates the hell out of me. I'm gonna be honest. You know, this is a serious situation when it comes to the illegal immigrants that are here. I'm all for legal immigrants. Of course, I am a first-generation here in the country. My parents came over, my mom at 18 years old. So I know what it's like, but let me tell you, there's no way you can say that the 20-plus thousand illegal immigrants that are here are not having an effect on the parking, the housing.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. What I said was I wanted him to acknowledge that parking was an issue before, and he was trying to say that it was not.
Oh, okay, I see. But it has gotten to an epic level.
I mean, it's mathematics. If you have 25,000 more people, no matter how they get here, right, you're going to have less parking spaces.
Right. And like the gentleman said, and what he was saying is true. And I'm not saying this to disparage anyone. A lot of the situations, they do have 18 to 20 to even more people into each apartment, and we know that because of all the incidents that happened on Acushnet Avenue, those two fires where two people died. That was the case. Both the buildings were overpacked with people. You know, and they were placed there by the CEDC. You know, there's like a pipeline of illegals that they brought into the city, and they used the CEDC to do that. What's that?
I mean,
I thought it was a comedy show we're listening to. You do a great stand-up routine.
See what I mean? And this guy was the city council president. He can't understand.
What is the proof that you have for that claim?
There's none, but he still says it. So that's why.
But which claim? Which claim?
That there's a pipeline of them bringing people into the city.
So how did 20,000 people come into the city under the radar?
The same way they get into any other city. There isn't a CEDC in every other city bringing them in.
Not only is there a pipeline, they help them get money, they help them get attorneys, they help them get housing, they help them get food, they help them get everything. I mean, are you guys like not paying attention to what's going on in the city? I mean, hello.
Proof, so it's fine.
No, we don't just demonize every organization because we hear on the radio that they say, "Oh, well, this is what they're doing, so they must, so it must be true."
No, sir. I've done research. I'm on
what,
the ground
what
level.
What research have you
questions.
Done? Explain to me what research you have that says that that's the case.
I speak with the illegal aliens.
You speak with the illegal aliens, and they told you that the CEDC brought them into the country.
They got here. Yes. Yes, 100%.
I don't believe you.
In their language, yes. Sí, señor, yeah.
I don't believe that.
See this? This is called ignorance. Not you. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fat boy. This is
all right.
Feliz Navidad.
No. Come on.
You are disgusting.
No. Festa.
We're not doing that. Let's not name call.
Disgusting. No, seriously. This is the city. This is the guy who runs that's supposed to help run our city, and he's laughing.
All right. You had your piece?
Enjoy your day, Carlos. Stay blessed.
You good?
You know, I'm fat myself, so don't take it to heart. You know what I mean?
Oh, I never do, Carlos. I know.
Seriously, though.
I understand that this is all projection on your part.
I apologize for saying that. I apologize. I do apologize. But the thing is, I'm so frustrated with you because the way you laugh, what is so funny about it? There are taxpayers that can barely pay their bills.
Oh, I know that, Carlos. The part here is that you're such an unserious person that the only thing that I can do is laugh. Because I'm not going to sit here and argue with someone who has no facts, has no actual proof of anything that you're saying other than just to spew hate and division and violence towards people.
Hate and division?
That are struggling.
This is the reality. It's your reality that you've concocted
in your head, and this is why all I can do is laugh because I'm not going to argue with someone who has made up
aliens
things
under
about
your watch.
Okay, and this is why I just laugh.
Illegal aliens under your watch. Do you remember the Latin kings that took over World War II for 5 years? Do you remember that?
This is the same individual that before, you know, I became council president said when I become council president, there'd be a Suboxone clinic on every corner. There would be illegal aliens in everyone's household.
That's a lie. I supported this guy.
What a liar. He supported me.
I was there. Now he's lying.
If we can hang up this call. I'm going to just hold this anyway.
No. Let me say my truth now.
You can have 30 seconds because I got some other calls.
Okay. When he first got elected, I went to the Veterans Hall.
Every caller knows this man has never supported me.
I went to the Cape Verdean Veterans Hall, congratulate him, told him it was an awesome feat that what he did, and that congratulations, and I support him, and they're not ready for you. And that's what I told him. Now he's going to lie?
And you haven't been ready for me, Carlos. You got that right.
It ain't my fault you're doing what you do and you ignore you ignore. That's not my fault, bud.
I am going to hold it there just to get these other calls in. Thank you for the call. And if I don't talk to you tomorrow, Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right, we got to get these calls in here, and then I got a break I got to take, so let's try and get through them quickly. Good morning. You're next with the council president.
Boy, I had to follow Carlos, huh?
Seems to always happen that way, huh, Gilly?
Listen, pal, you know that when I say something, I got proof behind it.
Not always.
Okay? Give me a point that I didn't.
Remember the time you called in here and made up that ridiculous story about the time I interrupted your conversation with the chief of police?
You did. You were late for the meeting. I'm not going to argue.
Let's just go to your next point.
Tim, please. Okay? He's there to take calls. You could run this show by yourself. Because every time somebody, like the gentleman that called earlier, you were answering his question. So let's not, you can do the show by yourself. You don't need him there.
Yeah, Tim is great.
Because you're answering the questions. My point is, you guys are having a show, okay? Let me ask the council something. Did the mayor put a petition, something on the agenda for the recall petition? Have you guys voted on that?
We did vote on it, yes, in committee, and it failed.
And he failed.
Yeah. And do you remember who voted for it, Gilly?
No, because I really haven't been going to the
meetings. No, you do remember who voted for it, Gilly. Don't lie. You know that I supported the recall provision.
Hey, don't call me a liar.
I am calling you a liar, Gilly. And you know that I support it, but you don't want to say that on the radio. You don't want to say that I am a supporter of the recall petition and that I supported it every single time it's been put up for a vote in committee, but it doesn't have the six votes it needs. So you don't want
to
say that because you know that that's not a good talking point. But you wanted me to answer your question, and I'm answering it now. And here I am responding. You don't want to hear the response.
No, that's not the way you go.
Oh, okay. So let's hear it now. What's your next thing that you want to ask?
No. I'm not asking you. Ask me a question.
He said ask your next question.
Yeah.
What's your next question?
Listen, I want to answer that question about the recall petition.
Sure.
Okay? And who voted for it?
Because I've always supported it since day one, every single vote.
I don't know who voted for it.
Well, now you know. Shane Burgo has always supported the recall petition and has every single vote. Go look it up. You know how to do that. Even though other people on this radio station continue to push that narrative that I've...
He's said it multiple times on this show, too.
And I have a voting record. You can look up the voting record. It's public record.
How about all the times that the city council has actually broke all the rules that you guys are supposed to follow on the rules of Robert. How come nobody ever talks about them? You guys are angels on there. You guys broke more things. I've never seen a city council. I want to know one question. I want to know whose laptop that Brian Gomes is going to be. He had John Saunders, Linda Moret. Now, who's going to be his laptop?
It sounds like you're the lapdog, Gilly, because all you do is sit around like a dog waiting to pounce and look for something to talk about. I don't understand the point of you sitting around waiting to call
me,
in.
I've always... Tim, let me ask you a question since you want to answer for him.
No, you've been dying to call in and ask me a question. You just were complaining that Tim is always answering questions.
Can I talk to you for a second?
You can ask a question, but then I got to move on because I got a break.
Here Monday through Friday. You only got me this 1 hour. Why not ask me some questions, Gilly? Well, what's the problem?
Let him just ask this one so we can move
on. All right.
We don't have you for a whole hour. Sometimes you've been late.
Well, that's why you should monopolize this opportunity instead of asking Tim this question.
Yes. Can I talk to you? What's your question?
Okay.
Oh, there's the lapdog running to Tim, I guess.
Haven't I brought proof about it?
Yeah, you do. I got to hold you there, Gilly, because now we're just getting back and forth.
Every time I bring something up, I have proof.
Okay? All right. Sure. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, there he goes again. He wants to be a comedian.
Take care, buddy.
I'm going to hold this here. Thank you for the call.
Well, you shouldn't be having me. You can take care of this by yourself.
Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you.
See you, Gilly.
You too.
All right. Caller, hang on. Let me just get this break in. It's a quick one. We will take you as soon as we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
All right, we are back with Council President Burgo. I do have one more three-minute break I got to take before the end of the hour, so just warning people that. I know people think that, like, oh, Tim just says he has to go to a break because he wants to end the call. Well, kind of, yeah, but that's because I got to take the break. So I have to play these, if not, especially at the end of the year here where we're running out of time to have breaks. All right. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Good morning.
How you doing?
It's me, right?
Sounds like you. Only you know for sure.
Okay. Making sure. Making sure I'm still alive. First of all, I don't live in New Bedford. I'm kind of glad I can say that.
That's okay. The last two callers don't either.
Okay. Well, and this is directed towards you, sir.
Sounds good.
I am appalled at any politician that wants to be in charge of anything, like yourself, cannot take criticism. I don't understand how somebody in your position lets these people get under your skin. You should be above that. I hope you really are. I know it makes great radio and entertainment for the masses, but I really think that you personally should be a better person at accepting this, because you accepted the role in what you're doing for the city, and not everybody's going to be Mr. Nice Guy. But for you to sit on that radio while he's talking and laughing is totally disgusting in my eyes. And I take it from an outsider. It sounds funny to listen to, but it's not leadership. So I hope that you take this as constructive criticism. And in all honesty, Tim, you have a great show. And I would hope that you would be a little bit better moderator on that, because these guys are bashing. And I understand that they're frustrated.
But there's a lot more to it than just being able to take the criticism from callers. There's a difference between these particular individuals and the average critical caller.
I hear them and I get disgusted with them.
And again, I'm not crapping on them, but there's more of a personal thing that's gone on between them and the council president.
I understand that.
Yeah, and I agree with your sentiment. Obviously, I've been in politics for 4 years now or so, but even before then, the work that I've done, criticism is a part of any work that you do, and it's important to receive that and adapt to that. I have no problem with criticism. What I have a problem with is people who continue to spew nonsense without ever change. And so for me, my concern, I don't know if you've listened to the program before, when he calls in and continues to say the same thing over and over again, I've challenged that to try to educate people. He doesn't receive that.
I met you 4 years ago at the Washington Club just before you got on,
mm-hmm.
at a fundraiser. and I was impressed with you, and I was impressed with the way you carried yourself, and I would have voted for you if I lived in a city, but I didn't, okay? The problem that I'm having listening to you here is you should not stoop to their level. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll hold you there just in the interest of time.
Okay.
I appreciate that, though.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Be better. Just be better. That's all I ask.
All right. Merry Christmas. I got to take this break. Oops, sorry. When we come back, if we have time to squeeze in this other one, well, we should. We should have a minute or so. We'll be right back. Real quick, I got an Snapchat message from Whaler who says, you should have hung up on Carlos the minute he called the counselor fat. You run the show. It is not constructive conversation. It's chaos. Do better. I left him on because I knew he was going to want to apologize for saying that. I knew, you know, sometimes when he says those things, he realizes right away, yeah, I went too far. So, all right, let's get this call in here. Good morning. You're on with the council president.
Tim and Shane Barry, Sylvia, personally, I enjoy your show. I enjoy when both of you are on there. I think that you have an opportunity to tell us what's going on because we're busy people and we don't get the day in and day out. And respectfully, City Council, and I know Ryan's going to help do this too, but the economic indicators that I wanted to talk about real quick, and if you have the answers, fine, but what it would help you do is exactly what Ryan Pereira and I did this weekend in the Christmas baskets for an organization that we belong to, is to help these people. But the questions that I asked, the barometers that I asked is, are we selling? Is the state tax that we contribute to back to Massachusetts, is it up year over year? And an answer would be good. I don't have that answer, to be honest with you, that particular one, because that might indicate, are the people that are not documented, are they not helping us? But we know that we've seen some of the flow things that we're doing over here with the outflow and the sewer. The flow is up. If the population says we're not up, the flow is up 20%. But these are numbers that we really need to tackle, Shane, and we can do it through facts. We don't have to argue. I think you're on the right track in some respects. But in other respects, if we had these numbers, it would have been a different conversation.
Yeah, so, and I agree with you.
Thanks, Barry. I just don't know if we can.